Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Thank you all for coming. Glad to see so many people turn out. My name is Sam George. I work on the Windows Phone Developer Platform team, and I'm very excited to be presenting to you today about an introduction to app development. So, first order of business, though, is that at the end of this session, we will be giving away a Lumia 928. So, I will be asking a question at the end of something that I presented here, and the first hand that I see go up and that answers it correctly will win this phone. So, there will be a test at the end. Okay, so this is what we're going to talk about today. First, I have some great news to share with you about some of the amazing momentum we're seeing in the Windows Phone ecosystem. I'm going to talk about the key concepts that's required to get started writing Windows Phone apps. And we're going to have some demos along as we go. So let's start with the great news. So we have had an amazing amount of momentum since our Windows Phone 8 launch. We're super excited about it. We've added 52,000 apps to our App Store in the 8 months since then. 102,000 more developers have registered. And most significantly for you in the room, the revenue that we're generating for you as developers has increased by 2.5 times monthly average. We're seeing over 200 million downloads each month of applications through our store. And we now have 160,000 apps in our Windows Phone store. And our store is available in over 50 languages and 191 markets. There's a bunch of great new apps that are coming to Windows that are now in the store, and I encourage you to go and check them out. We're seeing amazing growth in monthly app downloads since our Windows Phone 8 launch across the world. And right now, since launch, 42% of the Windows Phone devices that were purchased were upgrades from feature phones, meaning not smartphones, flip phones. And why is this significant? Because right now there are still 4 billion of these customers on the planet who are converting to smartphones. And we're not just getting people coming from feature phones, we're also getting people from Android, for example. 23% of Windows Phone devices were bought by users that were upgrading from Android. And I do mean upgrading. All in all, the Windows Phone is growing at 6 times the rate of the overall smartphone market. So, we have a great platform. We have world-class tools. We have the best user experience, bar none, of any smartphone. And I'm here today to show you the rest of the developer platform so that you can start building apps and be part of this ecosystem. So let's get started. Now, the topics that I'm going to cover today, if you are a seasoned Windows Phone developer and you've been publishing for years, these are going to feel a little basic to you. If you are new to Windows Phone or you're familiar with Microsoft ecosystem and you want to get started, this is the right talk for you. There's also a parallel talk that Karina Black is presenting right now in 135 on design for developers. And if that is a more interesting talk for you because you're a seasoned Windows Phone developer, I won't be offended if you leave. So let's get started. The great news is that it has never been easier to learn. We have a ton of content online. We have over 40 hours of audio and video training. We have slides and self-assessments. We have a jump start that takes you through all of the concepts in depth with samples that I'm going to present today. We have a design boot camp for developers to learn how to design great apps and what the process is. We have a training kit for self-assessment, and we even have an absolute beginner's course that takes you through the rudimentary programming before and from rudimentary programming all the way to publishing an app. And it's a great thing that we have all this training because we have a very mature platform. It is a full-featured and competitive platform with a host of features and capabilities for you to design any app that you can imagine. So in today's talk, this is what I'm going to cover, these 10 things. We're going to talk about the Dev Center and tools, our design principles, what our UI framework is and some of the details there. We'll talk about live tiles, launchers and choosers, how to use web content, And I'll spend time talking about tips and tricks on making money, and then also building for both Windows and Windows Phone. So let's get started. So we have a great dev center. It was just relaunched this morning with all new content and all new guides for you. We also have a bunch of tools that are available through our developer center, and these tools are available for a free download. So I'm going to switch over. And just quickly show you the dev center. So this is our new developer center. And we have our getting started guide. You can download the development tools. One of the things I want to show you that you might have missed if you're familiar with this is we have a large design section of our developer platform or of our dev center. And this shows how we design apps ourselves. It even has a bunch of in-depth design library guidelines that give you information about our platform ecosystem, the app design process, how apps are structured and how navigation works, how to capture motion in your application, and control design guidelines for every type of control. So this is Visual Studio. If you haven't used this before for Windows Phone development, we have a lot of templates for you to start with. This is the Windows Phone app, the simple template. I'm going to go ahead and create one of these. And on the right, you see our XAML, which I'll talk about in a second. On the left, you see the design surface. And if I debug this, it launches our Windows Phone emulator. Now, the emulator is actually running a full version of Windows Phone. And there are multiple versions of our emulator that ship as part of the tools. And they run at the different device resolutions that Windows Phone supports, as well as memory configurations. Now, the default is the 512 meg image. And most Windows Phone devices in the world today are 512 meg devices. And so that's why it's the default. And we recommend you design your app in that. So our emulator can do all the obvious things like rotate. We have some extra tools in there, like you can you can simulate the accelerometer being used. You can simulate location. So if you're using our location services, the location services, when they run in the emulator, will key off of where you drop this pin in the map. You can take screenshots, which will be useful when you go to submit your app. And you can debug your network settings. So I'm going to go ahead and switch this back. There we go. And we'll be talking more about this as the talk goes on. Okay, so that's a quick overview of our tools. Let's talk about the design principles. So Windows Phone has a really rich and unique user experience. And that didn't happen by accident. We have a set of very disciplined design principles that we applied when we went and built Windows Phone. And what we've done is we've codified those into something. This is available on our developer center in the design section. And this is the way to think about developing an app for Windows Phone. The first is pride and craftsmanship. And what this really means is take time on some of the subtle things that users will spend time with all the time. So for example, the third screen that you see over on the right, the one that's titled Messaging Conversations, it's kind of subtle, but you see how the font starts really large where you want the user's eye to be drawn. You can tell that this is about conversations for messaging. And then the next biggest font is the title of the message or who sent it. And then beyond that, then there's a preview of the message content. This message hierarchy, as opposed to the one on the far right, allows your eyes to naturally drift to where your content is most relevant. So with more with less, that's another key design principle. More with less is really about letting your content shine through. Another way to think about this is don't be afraid of white space. If you're using white space in your app, that's great, because what's left of the white space is your content, and the user will naturally focus on that. Windows Phone apps feel expansive and open, and we encourage you as you build your apps to do the same thing. If you find yourself cramming too much information on a screen, stop and add a second screen that you navigate to as a detail view. Fast and fluid. So all of our experiences use transitions when you transition between them. There's great motion and great effects. And the good news is if you use all of our built-in controls and layouts, you get this stuff for free. If you design your own custom experiences, there's great guidelines on our design center to help you use our animation libraries in order to produce the same great motion effects that make it feel like the rest of the phone. And authentically digital. This is really about let your assets bleed into the background so that your contents can shine, unless you have an asset that you really want to highlight. The icons that you see on the right, that's an example of trying to emulate the real world too much as opposed to being more digital. And then Win as One is really about as you build an application for both Windows and Windows Phone, take advantage of the different screen sizes, but maintain the same personality on both. And also take advantage of built-in parts of the Windows Phone and Windows operating systems to make your app feel like the rest of the environment. And I'll show you how to do that in a few later sections. So those are our design principles. To learn more, as I mentioned, there is a session right now on Windows Phone Design for Developers by Karina. It will be available for you to watch online later on for download. So let's talk about our UI platform. So we have a very rich and mature UI platform that we have been developing for a long time. We call it our XAML platform, and it is a very rich UI framework that includes both signature and standard controls, and I'll explain the difference between those. Layouts. It's a tree-based environment, meaning you arrange elements in a tree, and the order they appear in those tree will controls the Z-order that they render on top of each other. It's a retain mode system, meaning you just use controls. You don't have to worry about getting called back for paint. And it's fully extensible. If you want to develop your own custom controls, you just subclass user control. If you want to develop your own custom layouts, you just subclass panel. Most of the time, you don't need to do this, though. We have great extensibility mechanisms for styling your controls, which is overriding known properties, for templating it, which is rearranging the visual tree to suit your own experience, and even subclassing, which is for changing the behavior. So we also have XAML, which is a great asset. It's a markup language which helps you construct UI quickly. The XAML that you see in the lower right-hand corner can also be done in code. And in fact, everything you can do in XAML, you can do in code. It's just a lot easier to do in XAML. So the two at the bottom are equivalent. That is actually the code that our XAML parser runs when it encounters that XAML to produce that element tree. All right, let's talk about some of the controls. So our controls are reusable and customizable. They embody the Windows Phone design principles. They have all the motion and transitions built in. We have a set of signature controls that really highlight and celebrate the Windows Phone experience. I'll show those in a little more detail, so I'm not going to cover them right now. And we also have a set of standard controls that you would expect from a modern operating system, a map and web browser, and ads control that you can simply drag and drop into your app and start making money. And we have all the intrinsic controls that you would expect, like buttons and text boxes and grid layouts and things like that. And then we have a set of additional controls that are our toolkit controls. And these don't ship in our SDK. We actually ship these up on CodePlex as shared source. And you can download the source or the compiled binaries. And you can use the binaries in your app. And if you decide you want to tweak the source, you can do that. And I'll show you how to get this in a second. So let's talk about a few of our controls. The first signature control that I want to talk about is our panorama control. This is basically, think of it like a magazine layout, very rich and expansive. It's comprised of a set of panorama panels, and those panorama panels can actually even include span more than one screen. The background of the panorama, there's a background image, and it moves as you pan between the panorama panels. It pans at a different rate to give a depth and parallax effect, which is really nice. We also have our pivot control, which is for showing lists of related data sets. So as an example, in the screenshot here, you've got an email application where you can see all mail, and then if you pivot over to the side by swiping, you see unread mail, and then if you pivot again, you see flagged. Now, the pivots wrap around, and so you can just keep pivoting. Another way to think, some people think of this as like a fancy tab control, where as you slide, you move between tabs, which is a reasonable metaphor too. Now, you don't only have to put lists on pivot. It's a very natural control for putting lists, but you can put any content that you want. And then there's our long list selector control. So this is a highly performance optimized list control. It also includes something we call a jump list, which solves the problem of, let's say for example, I have a very large music album list, and I'm scrolling into it because I want to get to the guys at the end. The blue things that you see are called sticky headers, and they're called sticky headers because as you scroll, they stick to the top of the screen until the next one displaces it. And if you click on those, it brings up the jump list. The jump list allows you to jump around in the long list selector. Long list selector also supports a grid view, so you can use that for a simple photo thumbnail view if you want, or album art. So let's spend some time now over in Visual Studio and talk about some of our controls. All right, I'm going to close this project. And I have a quick little project here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some basic experiences for these signature controls. And then I'm going to hop over to some real apps on our phone and show you how I don't want you to get the impression that just by using these controls, your apps are going to look exactly like everything else in Windows Phone. We want your apps to look like the personality of your brand or the experience that you want to create. But you'll see a common theme between the two. So the first thing that I'm going to show you is I'm going to open up the main page. So each Windows Phone application is comprised of a set of XAML files. And each XAML file has a page on it. Each page is basically an atomic unit of user interaction. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. But so for now, just remember that main page tends to be the page that your application initializes to. You can change that as well. So I have a very simple app here that has three buttons on it, one for panorama, one for pivot, and one for long list selector. And let me just show you this in the emulator. So when I click on panorama, watch the background and the image in the background as it moves across. Now notice that I'm wrapping around between item 1, 2, and 3. And also notice that item 2 spans more than one screen. And so it can shift. And so if you've got a lot of information to display in a panorama, you can just increase the size of your panorama panel. The other thing to notice too is that with a panorama, the next panorama item peaks out over on the right side. It's a little hard to tell with this background, but it peaks to give the user a visual clue that there's more to swipe over to. So I'll hit back, and that'll take me back to this experience. And this is a pivot. So this first pivot just has some text. The second one has some space in it where I have an image. And the third one has some long text that I can scroll up and down. So you notice the motion effects where the headings move at a different rate and snap differently than the content does. And then also, this is our long list selector experience. So as I scroll, watch the sticky header as it displaces the next one. So I can always tell which section I'm in, especially if it's a long section. And then if I click on one of these, it just takes me into that section. So let's switch over to my phone right now. We have a fancy little USB out. Okay, so this is my phone. One of the things I want to highlight here is that this image is coming on my lock screen is coming from the Facebook app. And the Facebook app has a feature where it can actually feed images to my lock screen. This is an image that I took while I was on vacation. There's another talk that'll cover, and I'll tell you what that is in a second, that'll cover all of the ways that you can do this in your own applications. But let me just unlock my phone. Everyone can see my password is 7257, and yes, that is a temporary one. Okay, so Here's an example. So Burton wrote a great app, and this is an example of a panorama control. So if you notice, Burton decided that they always wanted their logo at the very top to stay put while you were scrolling around in the panorama experience. Each of the sections, though, scrolls over, and as you can see, it peaks over on the side. And this one of these sections, this section right here is actually much wider. And you know, if you see the image in the background, it scrolls at a different, or it swipes at a different rate. So it gives it a sense of depth. The other thing to point out about this is that one of the recommendations we have is when you're in a panorama is not to enable scrolling. So if I try to scroll up and down like this, nothing happens. And what Burton did is he added a little more indicator at the bottom where I can get into more content, where there's more scrollable content. Okay. The second app that I want to show you is Foursquare. And Foursquare's got a really cool use of pivot. Now watch at the top. The top is a map control. And since Foursquare is all about location, they decided to celebrate that by having a map control at the top that shows you where you are and what the location of your pivot is, basically. So the first pivot is this Explorer pivot. And here I can see what's going on in the area. Now if I switch over to Activity, it shows me a different view. But if I go back to my profile, so I'm from Seattle, you notice the map control went all the way back up to Seattle. So it's an interesting use of a pivot. And again, it looks nothing like the pivot that I showed you, but you can still tell it has a Windows Phone look and feel, and it still has this beautiful pivot experience, but it's very much Foursquare's own. Okay, so I'm going to minimize this guy and go back to Visual Studio for a moment. And what I'm going to do is create another new project. And I'm going to show you about our toolkit controls. Now, one of the things I mentioned was that the date picker and the time picker, for example, are in the toolkit control. So I'm going to show you how to go and grab one of those. It's super, super easy. So there's a one-time setup that you can do to make things even easier. You don't have to do that. You can actually just go download them and add a reference to them in your assembly references. If you come here into Extensions and Updates and go to the Online section, there's the NuGet Packet Manager. And so I do a quick install of that. And it goes ahead and installs it in Visual Studio. Prompts me to restart Visual Studio. Great. So now that I have that, now that I've done that, I can go into Project, Manage NuGet Packages. And there's a whole bunch of NuGet packages online that I can choose from and simply click to install. So I'm going to go ahead and search. It's searchable as well. So I'm going to search for the Windows Phone Toolkit. There we go. And I'll go ahead and install it. Now watch how easy this is. It goes and installs. It updates all my assembly references. And boom, I'm using this. So what I'm going to do now is go back to my XAML, and I'm going to add a namespace for our toolkit. And there's our toolkit. And there is a great talk on this, so you don't have to remember what I just did. And I'm going to go down to the content section of this page. Another thing to notice as I'm doing this is that as I click around in XAML, the design surface highlights which part I'm in. So I will now create a toolkit date picker. There we go. Now when I run this, we get our date picker, and the way our date picker works is that when you click on it, it brings up a full screen view, which is pretty intuitive. It allows you to pick a date. These things wrap around. These are all customizable. You can template these. And now when I've picked this date, then I see it here. So that's a quick example of getting a toolkit control. We update this toolkit quite frequently. In fact, we just updated it last week. So for those of you that have used it before, there's a new update. So that's an overview of our controls. To learn more, the man himself, Sean Oster, has a talk this afternoon on Windows Phone UI in XAML. It'll be today at 5 p.m. right here in this room. It's a great talk, so drop by if you're interested. Okay, so far we've talked about our developer center and tools, the design principles. You've seen some of the basic atoms and molecules that we use to produce an app. So how do we put it all together? Well, your app is put together with something we call pages and navigation. This is very similar to the web model. You can think of a web browser hosting page, multiple pages, where each page is an atomic unit of interaction for the user to accomplish something. In the Burton app, as you go through the panorama, it's to see all the things the app can do, and then you can drill into different things. So that was sort of the launch page. So for pages and navigation, pages contain content. The actual type is the phone application page, and when you create a new page, you get automatically subclass it. There's also the frame. Now, the frame is a top-level container. It doesn't have any UI, so you don't see it. And it contains all of the pages. And then apps navigate between pages, passing data back and forth between them using query strings. And I'll show you that in just a second. So visually, the frame contains, and again, it's UI-less, so there's not some offset at the top that it takes up. The frame contains a page, and the page contains a content area. And so if I have an app like this, where I have a home page, and a setting page, and a widgets page, and there's interaction between the two, I'm navigating my app in response to user actions between these two. There's also the notion that I just wanted to cover real quickly of screens. And a screen is really transient UI that the user doesn't navigate to. They just come up. As an example, a splash screen or a logon screen where the user is logged out, a logon screen could be shown from any of these pages, but it's not a place that someone could go navigate to. For these screens, the way you interact with these or the way you build support for these is instead of building a page, you simply bring up XAML UI in a pop-up. So let's talk about how page navigation works. So the demo that I showed just a minute ago with our signature controls had the three buttons, and when I clicked on one of them, what it did is it called a code behind. And so a code behind is the way a page is built is that there is a XAML file which defines the UI and layout, and there is a code behind in C# or BB.net which defines the interaction. And in the code behind that I showed you before, it had an event handler in response to a button click. Very simple. And what that button click does is it calls into our navigation service and it tells it to navigate. Now notice it's saying navigate to a page of XAML. And then the navigation service does the work to look up, well, what's the concrete type for that and instance it, and it does all that work for you. So when that happens, the frame unloads the previous page and it loads the next page. Now if you need to pass data in between these two, you can use query strings, and there's another talk that'll be later on today that'll go over this in more detail in the Windows Phone App Foundation class by Thomas Fennell, and that's today at 2 p.m. So I want to spend some time, that's how you do the fundamentals of a Windows Phone app, and now I want to start talking about how you integrate more deeply with the system. The first way that you integrate deeply with the system is with live tiles. So live tiles provide glanceable access to information users care about most. I can't emphasize strongly enough, if you build a Windows Phone app, add live tile support. It is a great way to keep users engaged. And I'll show you some examples from my own phone about some great live tiles that people are doing. So you as a developer can update your live tiles either from within your app while it's running. You can also create a scheduled task, which is super easy to do, and update it periodically in the background. Or you can do it in response to push notifications. So if you're Facebook and someone comments on a photo of yours, they can send a notification to that application and then display a toast. And then the toast can launch your app. All apps a default tile. They come with it whether you want it or not. And so these tiles are the way you add a shortcut to the start screen to launch your app. It's created when a user goes in and pins into the all apps menu and press and holds and then pins it to the start screen. And it launches to the main app page. Now, the interesting thing here is that your app can actually have more than one live tile. It can have a secondary tile, or as many secondary tiles as it wants. These secondary tiles are created programmatically, often in response to UI that you build to prompt people. So a great example of this is Pandora. So Pandora's got a Windows Phone app, and it's got a live tile that says Pandora, and I click on it. And when I get into the Pandora experience, there's a bunch of stations for artists that I care about and that I follow and things like that. And what Pandora allows you to do is to pin those stations. And so those show up as secondary tiles right on the start screen. And then when I click on that secondary tile, then I can get right into the part of Pandora that'll start playing that station. And so secondary tiles, can launch into any page. Live tiles are basically images with some text. They can be static, like they can be something you generate at build time and never update, or they can be dynamic. Either images that you download, or you can even generate images client side by building up a XAML tree and getting a bitmap from that, and then specifying that as your live tile. And in Windows Phone 8, you can specify three different tile sizes instead of just the medium one that pre-Windows Phone 8 supported. So we support three different tile templates. So the first is the flip template. And flip is very similar to the original Windows Phone tile, and it just periodically flips from front to back, right, and shows different information on the back, and you can control that information. This is an example of a weather app that shows different levels of detail based on whether it's a small, medium, or large tile. Iconic is a second one, where if I have an iconic image, like the Skype icon, and I want to celebrate that in each of my tiles, I can just use that. And there's obviously still text and information that I can convey to the user. And then the last is cycle, very similar to our camera or our photos gallery, where you can cycle through a set of images. These are 9 images that it can cycle through, and you can these are programmatic as well as something you can set in Visual Studio. So let's spend a little time looking at live tiles over in Visual Studio. So the first thing that I want to show you, so I'm going to hop back over here and show you some interesting uses of live tiles. So the first is this weather app, Weatherflow. And as you can see, they display different amounts of information based on the small, large, or medium tile. There's a stocks app. My Stocks is a great stock app, which, as you'll see, flips, looks like a good day in the market, flips back and gives me live market updates. There's a traffic app. There's lots of traffic apps that show traffic detail right on the live tile, which is great because when I'm about to get on the freeway, I don't even have to start the app. There's an app for my thermostat. I have one of the Nest thermostats, and it tells me what the temperature is in my house right now. There's obviously Facebook and Twitter tiles that show me my status, and then our People Hub tile, which shows me my friends that are commenting. But they all feel very alive. And one of the things that, again, I want to stress is that when you build a Windows Phone app, if you build live tile support, it will keep your users more engaged. So let's see how you do it. I'm going to go ahead and minimize this guy. And I'm going to create a new project. And I'm going to call this the Contoso Cookbook, because it wouldn't be a Microsoft conference if we didn't use the word Contoso. Yeah, all the old timers got that. Great, I have my project. So what I want to show you first is that underneath this properties node in the Solution Explorer, there's a very special file called the WM App Manifest. And what that does is it allows you to specify a lot of information about your app, what its name is, what the description is, where the main page that should start in the app is. as well as the app icons. Now we provide in the app, in the default template, we provide these application icons. And so you can see flip templates. There's your application icon. And if I were to run this app, you would see it in the emulator and it would just show up as that little star. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to go over here to my desktop. And I'm going to grab this assets folder. I'm going to open up this in Explorer. And I'm just going to pave over that assets folder. Okay. So now when I open up this application icon, it's my Contoso cookbook. Okay. And so what I can do now is go navigate out to the file system. There's my assets directory. So there's my application icon. I just set that. And my it picked up my live tile. I actually used the same name. But I would go in here and just specify the small template for this one, the medium template for this one, and then the large template for this one. And in order to get large tile support, I just click on this large tile checkbox. There's a drop-down here that lets you specify which type of live tile you want to use. And so you could use flip, cycle, or iconic. Okay, so let me specify this large one. There we go. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is run this in the emulator. And there's nothing interesting in the app. The interesting part is over here. So there's my icon that shows up in the all apps list. And when I press and hold this and pin it to start, I get my medium live tile. And if I press and hold this, then you can see my small tile and my large tile, as well as my medium one. So it's that easy to add live tile support. It's very, very straightforward. And then it's just a little bit more work in the background using the shell tile APIs in order to change the text that's on it. For example, if you're an email application, to display how many unread mails that you've got or whatever other information you want to display in a counter to your user. To learn more about this, Thomas Fennell's got a talk on Thursday at 11:30 in here. On live tiles, lock, and notifications. One of the other really cool things you can do from your app is there's a section on the lock screen that'll show status for an application. By default, Windows Phone shows it for email and things like that, but you can show it for your application too. So if you have an account that you want to have displayed, you can prompt your user to add it to their lock screen, so they can always see your app from their lock screen. And you can also provide the background for the lock screen as an application. So the next level of integration that I want to talk about from Live Tiles is launchers and choosers. So the problem launchers and choosers solves is oftentimes when you build a Windows Phone app, you want to reuse a bunch of the functionality that already exists on the phone. You might want to display a map or allow a user to search on a map. You might want to choose from a contact on the phone. And what we didn't want you to have to do is go and rebuild all of that UI yourself. So we have the notion of launchers and choosers. Now, a launcher is something that simply launches an experience, like a browser or a map, and you just pass data to the launcher to initialize it, and then it displays. Now, because of the way pages work in our applications and how you transition from one to the other, when you use these, it just feels like part of your app. And then when you hit the back button, you're right back in your app. Choosers, on the other hand, launches an experience to go fetch data for your app. For example, to choose a photo from the camera roll. And we have a lot of these. There's 32 to be exact. So there's a full set of launchers and choosers that you can take and build large parts of your application just from calling a few lines of code. So let's look at a few of those. I'm going to switch over to Visual Studio again. So I have a very simple skeleton of an app called Launchers and Choosers. And my main page, .xaml, just has three buttons. And what I'm going to show you here is, this is the code behind that gets compiled along with the XAML to produce the page. And in my code behind, I have three event handlers, one for each button. The way that gets associated, you can see over here, is in XAML in response to this click event. Now, if I didn't have one of these, I could create a brand new event handler, or if Visual Studio recognizes I've already got an event handler, I can just specify one of those. So I'll go ahead and specify the map one. And then I'll jump into my code behind. And all I'm going to do is add a using statement to the task namespace. Okay. And then down in my map one, I will just create a maps task. Now, the things I can do with the maps task is I can tell it a geolocation or a geocoordinate to center on in the map. I can specify the zoom level. And I can also specify a search term. So I'm going to go ahead and specify a search term. And then to invoke it, I just call the show method. Okay. Now when I run this guy, so here's my simple application, and now when I call launch map, it just takes me into the map experience and it defaults into the Moscone Center, and it shows a little tag for it. So let's stop this guy. I can also initiate a browser session, so I just use a web browser task for that. And the web browser task takes a URI. And here, instead of using a relative URI, I'm going to use an absolute one. And then I specify the URI kind, which can be relative or absolute, or we'll try to figure it out. And then my web browser task, I simply show it. And I'm going to go ahead and add the one for the photo, too. So this one's a little different. This is a chooser. And what I'm going to do is the choose photo chooser task. Now, because this is going to call me back, I'm going to register for an event. And when I add plus equal, Visual Studio gives me completion. Okay, so let's go ahead and debug that. So now when I click launch browser and I choose the recommended settings, now this takes me to the Windows Phone developer site. I click back, I choose a photo, it takes me into the camera roll, and I'm not going to show this full sample, but if there were a real picture in the emulator, I would choose one, and it would return, and I could do something with it. Now, the choosers are there's a little more to it, because especially on low-memory devices, your application can become dormant in the background while the chooser is up, and so there's some special things that you have to do in order to handle that situation. There's lots more in another talk that I'm going to show you in a second. But that is how easy it is. Most of these launchers and choosers are really just a few lines of code, and you've got large parts of your UI. So again today, we'll talk a little bit more about launchers and choosers in the Windows Phone App Foundation talk by Thomas Fennell, right in here in this room. And then again on Friday, Sean McKenna's got another talk on a topic I didn't touch on today, which is cross-app communications, where you can actually launch another app and provide data to it. Or you can create a custom URI scheme so that other apps can launch you. So web content. Web content is a big deal. People use web content in their apps all over the place. So we have a standard web browser control. It is a XAML control. You can embed it in your app, or you can even host your entire app effectively in it, which I'll show you in a second. It's IE10 based, which means it's got all of the HTML5 hardware support that IE10 delivers. It's the exact same code. And it's built for touch. It supports all of these features in IE10. And I'm going to give you a quick demo of what that's like. Let me stop debugging here. And I'm going to create a new project. We even have a template for it. So we have a Windows Phone HTML5 app. And I'll show you how this works. There we go. OK, so it just shows an icon of Internet Explorer. So the way this works is that if you look in the mainpage.xaml, which is the first page that's going to load, in the content area, we're just using a web browser control and telling it to stretch horizontally and vertically, and then handling a few events for navigation loaded and unloaded and things like that. So if you look in the code behind, the way it works is that there's a private main URI property that just points into an HTML directory with an HTML file called index. And index.html is pointing at a style sheet, which again is bundled with the app. And these styles that we provide for you has all the look and feel of a Windows Phone app. And so if you want to build your Windows Phone app and interactions in HTML, you can. So when I run this guy, this HTML with a combination of that style sheet produces something that looks like a Windows Phone application. And if I want, I could go into the code behind here and change this again to something else. And here I need to set absolute URIs. And then when I debug that, then that content fills the whole screen. Now there's a little application bar at the end, which I touched on lightly before. An application bar is something that most applications in Windows Phone include. It's optional. If you're a game, for example, and you don't want to have an application bar, you don't have to. Each page can have a different application bar. And what they are is there's these little three buttons over here, and when the user clicks on them, it animates up, and there's menu items that you can put in there that take the user to additional screens. There's also these buttons, let me just minimize this, that you can either you can make the application bar a little higher or a little lower and show the buttons if you want. Or if you just want, like in a web application, if you just want the Chrome to get out of the way, you can minimize it so you can just see the little three buttons here. So one other thing I want to point out before I get out of Visual Studio is that I mentioned before that we have different emulators. Here's these different emulators. So, and I can obviously also debug on a device. It's very simple. You get a developer registration, you unlock your phone, you can debug on a device. So here's the different emulators we support. And one of the things that I want to point out is there's this little used device tab over here, which is awesome. And what it does is it allows you on the design surface to see what your app is going to look like at different resolutions. So you can see if your images pixelate and things like that. And you can also see what it's going to look like. Windows Phone supports both a dark and a light theme. And so if you want to see what your app is going to look like when you're using the light theme, you can, right on the design surface. And then a lot of the Windows Phone styles include accent colors that the user can specify, like, I love blue, and so my Windows Phone is blue, and someone else likes purple. You can specify what the accent color is so you can see the effects of different accent colors bleeding through into your application. Thank you. Okay, just a few more topics. One is making money, which is super important, and the other is building for both Windows and Windows Phone. So making money, we support all of the industry standard ways of making money in an app. There are paid apps. You can use in-app purchase for both consumables and durables. And there's also ads. We have a great ad control. You simply drag and drop it right out of the Visual Studio Toolbox into your application, and away you go. We also have trial mode. And so trial mode is, I have a paid application, but I want to let someone try it for a little while before they decide whether they're going to buy it or not. We have an API that you call that you can check whether you're still in trial mode or not. And you can prompt the user to buy your app. So one of the things that I really want to highlight, too, that's another awesome piece of news, is that we have a great story for making sure people can buy applications on your phone, on their phones. We have more payment methods than both iOS and Android. We support all of the leading credit cards, but we also support a really important thing, which is mobile operator billing that you might not be aware of. So what this is that when you go down to AT&T or Verizon and you buy a Windows phone, you've signed up for a contract, you already have a financial relationship with AT&T or Verizon. And so what we'll do is, if that user that bought that phone goes to buy an app, and they've entered a Live ID, and that Live ID doesn't have a credit card associated with it, we will prompt them to buy it through AT&T, through a mobile operator relationship. And they can simply click yes, and away they go, and they buy the app. To you, it's all seamless. This is just, you know, more money you get paid. You don't get a check from AT&T or anything. But this is an awesome way of making sure that we have great access to users, great access for you to users' money. One of the things I want to call out here is that we have more mobile operator partners than Google Play. We have 30 in total. And this really gives you access to markets with low credit card penetration, which is pretty much everywhere. A couple examples I want to highlight. In China, we recently enabled a payment system called Alipay. And after we did, without marketing it or anything, we saw a 10x increase in purchases in China. PayPal is also an option. And there was also another thing on the mobile operators is we just recently enabled another mobile operator. And apps in that store, you could already buy apps through this mobile operator, or on phones from that mobile operator, but we didn't have mobile operator billing. We saw a huge increase right away, without any marketing, in the number of apps that were paid through that mobile operator, just because people don't have to stop and enter a credit card. So some tips on making money to think of as you build your Windows Phone app. The first is to use trial, if you have a paid app, is to deliver it as trial, or use the freemium approach. Now, freemium approach is your app is free, but you use in-app purchase to buy things like gold coins and additional levels and things like that. That is by far the most profitable way to build an app. We see 70, this is based on data from our store, we see 70 times the downloads for free apps that either use trial or the freemium model, and they generate 7 times more revenue. Use live tiles. The top 50 apps are over 3.5 times more likely to have a live tile. So it's very important to keep your users engaged. Use push notifications. Push notifications is another way to keep your users engaged. And our ad control, if you use our ad control, make sure you use it with localization so that it gets local, relevant ads. It improves the click-through and it improves the amount of money you'll get paid. And then follow the Windows design principles. Apps that follow it get featured in our store more. And if your app gets featured in the store, a lot of people will download it. And not just on the front page of the store, but also in the recommended lists. Localize your app and publish it globally. There's a talk on Friday that I'm going to point you at that shows how easy this is. We have automated tools for localizing your app. It's awesome. So localize your app. It takes a little bit of effort, but not as much as you would think. And all the templates support this. And so the templates allow you to build a localized app. And then you can publish globally into the global marketplace, which, as you saw from my early talk, was one of the most some of the biggest explosions that we've seen in app download growth are coming from Latin America and Africa. Watch your memory usage. So again, Most Windows Phone devices only have half a gig of memory in it. And on half a gig memory devices, if your app is consuming more than 90 megabytes of memory, it'll start to perform badly. So apps that use less than 90 megabytes of memory work well on all devices. And so I'd encourage you to do that. There's some great talks that we'll have later this week that that make this really straightforward. Act on feedback. To state the obvious, when you start getting ratings, if they're not great, people will tell you why. Act on that feedback and then update your app. The top apps are updated every 2 to 3 months on average. So to learn more, we have a talk on maximizing revenue by Bernardo today at 3:30 in North 135. Andrew Whitechapel is going to talk about Windows Phone low memory and all of the considerations and how you should respond in low memory conditions and things like that, and how to make sure your app runs well on those devices. That's Thursday at 5 p.m. And then Stefan Wick on Friday has Windows Phone Best Dev Practices, and he's going to show a new tool that we've got that will help you localize your app very easily. And in fact, Bing Translator supports a lot of localization in this tool. It's super easy to use. And finally, our last topic is build for both. So Windows and Windows Phone share a common core. We are built on the same operating system, and we share a large part of our developer platform. So it's very straightforward to share code between apps. The right way to share code between apps is to adopt the MVVM approach, where you separate, or an approach like it. I don't want to start a separation of concerns war. But MVVM is a great approach, where you can separate your model, which is your data, and your views, which is what the user interacts with, and then a view model, which stitches the two together. When you use this approach, it's super easy to share both your model and your view model between Windows and Windows Phone. The views are always going to be tailored for the screen because you simply can show more information on a bigger display. And it's easiest if you build both apps at the same time. If you start with a Windows 8 app and then try to port it to Windows Phone, it's much harder, and same is true the opposite way. It's much harder than if you build them both at the same time. So we have a lot of talks about this. So on Thursday at 2 p.m. in this room, we have a talk about building for both Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. On Thursday also, there's also a great story from Nokia. Nokia ported, they have a Windows Phone Nokia Music app, and they recently ported it to Windows 8. And it's lessons learned and how to structure your app properly to make this easy. And then we also have a talk on Friday of MVVM in practice. So if you're curious about that and want to learn more, that's a great place to learn. This is our full schedule for the week. We have a lot of great talks. There's a few that I didn't cover so far. The first is today at 5 o'clock. We have a talk on Windows Phone gaming basics. We have a great gaming platform. It's very straightforward to build a game that runs on both Windows and Windows Phone. Raza is going to be talking about that. We have a talk about all the middleware that is supporting Windows Phone now that makes it super easy to build an app and get up and running. And then there's a talk on networking deep dive, and then also using native code in your apps on Friday. So we allow you to use C++ from within your application. It makes it super easy to leverage open source software and use it in your Windows Phone app. For example, it's very straightforward to use SQLite for your Windows Phone app, and you can use that on Windows 8 as well. So, in closing, there's never been a better time to build a Windows Phone app. It's never been easier to learn, it's never been more profitable, and we have an expanding market. And as part of it, this summer, we're reducing the cost of our Dev Center registration to only $19. This is a limited time offer, so if you're not already registered, I encourage you to take advantage of it. I'm going to leave this up. This is links to all of our developer resources. This is my final slide, and I have 37 seconds left to ask, what is our app download for the phone? What is our app download rate year over year increase in Africa? Yep. No. Yep. All right. Well, thank you very much. Please remember to fill out your evaluations. I really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for coming.